A reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, page 119 of the New Testament. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. At this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native languages? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine."
Okay, Trinity. If you can read that, you can do anything. Give her a round of applause. Pentecost Sunday is the hardest Sunday to be the liturgist, to have to read the scripture. Most of you probably know that and don't sign up for that Sunday when you've had opportunities in the past. So I'm going to talk about Pentecost and that scripture, but to understand today, we have to go back. We have to go back to Holy Week, because all of this story for the last 50 days that we have been celebrating Easter have a connection to Pentecost. You can't have one story without the other. And I first want to begin to unpack it today for you by thinking of the disciples and their experiences. So think to Good Friday, the day Jesus was executed by the powers that be. Where were the disciples? Hiding in fear. Nowhere to be seen in the story. They don't appear on the gospel page for that day. We don't know where they are, but they're hiding out of fear and concern for their own safety. They assumed that more than likely within a few days they would be following Jesus to a cross and have their own executions. So they're hiding out somewhere in Jerusalem. But the women followers who've been with Jesus know exactly where they are. Then we come and celebrate that wonderful Easter story, and it's the women who follow Jesus who go to the tomb to prepare his body for its true burial and to seal up the tomb and for it to all be done, only to find he's not there. He's risen and he greets them. And they run back to Jerusalem. They know exactly where to go. They find the disciples and they tell them, and of course, they don't believe it. And they gave them, the women gave those 12 a message. You have to go to Galilee and wait for him there. So they leave Jerusalem and they go out to Galilee. Galilee is where Jesus started his ministry. It's where they spent most of their time together. It's for them going back home. It's familiar territory. Jesus comes to them in a risen form. Of course, we know some of their skepticism. We would all probably been with Thomas and said, "I'm not sure I can believe. Let me touch these wounds and really see if what I'm seeing is real, or is this just some dream I'm waking up from?" He does some miracles with them. They hang out together at the beach and have a barbecue. You can read all of this in the Gospels. I'm not making it up. He gives them the last lessons that he feels that they need to know. And just as they're getting used to having Jesus back in their life again, he says, "Oh, guys, by the way, I'm going to leave you again." Now, you know the anxiety that comes when your leader tells you they're going to be leaving you. So you can kind of get into the sense of what's going on in this story. Jesus says, "I'm leaving you," and they're kind of like, "Well, what do we do next? If you're not here to tell us where to find things, how are we going to get by? What do we do when we can't figure it out? Who do we turn to?" Those were the kinds of things going through their minds. Maybe you can relate to that. And yet Jesus said, but I'm not going to leave you alone. Which is the whole point of the story. He said, I'm going to send my Spirit to be with you always. And they're like, well, what does that mean? We're just getting used to you like this. What's your Spirit going to look like? Then he says, now you got to travel again. You got to leave Galilee and you got to go back to Jerusalem. And you got to wait there. See, there's a lot of waiting going on in this 50-day period for these poor disciples. So they go back to Jerusalem. More than likely, they return to either the place where they had the Last Supper with him, or the place where they hid out in fear on Good Friday, which might actually be the same place. We have no idea. But they went back to Jerusalem. They found some place to hang out, and they waited. Do you know how many days they waited? See who knows this Bible quiz. No? 10. Because you missed it. You missed the day of Ascension because it was on a Thursday and none of you came and showed up here to celebrate Ascension with us. That's when he ascended into heaven. That was 10 days ago. So for 10 days, they're sitting around probably every day looking at each other saying, how much longer do we have to wait? He said he was going to send a Spirit, but did you feel a Spirit today? No, I didn't feel a Spirit today. Okay, well, let's see what tomorrow brings. Tomorrow, same kind of scenario. It's lucky they were still there, don't you think, after 10 days? I kind of think so. That itself may be a miracle in the story. They waited 10 days. Certainly, I don't know if we would do that in today's world. If somebody said, wait for something, we'd sit around for 10 days. But then they were surprised. Because on this day, the story that Trinity just read came to life. They were in that room waiting. When all of a sudden they could hear the wind. You know Santa Ana winds. You can hear them. They heard that wind coming and began to get a little frightened. Well, the weatherman didn't predict that storm today. Where's that wind coming from? What is that sound we hear? And about the time they started trying to figure out the sound of the wind, the doors of the house burst off their hinges. The Holy Spirit entered that room and took over and gave them their life. They looked up and they saw the most amazing thing. There was a flame of fire dancing over each of their heads. If you saw that happening this morning on the heads of those sitting around you, I think you might get a little more excited than you are in the moment. And then the Spirit simply said, now you got to leave this place. Your work is not in this room. You have to go out into the world and preach the good news. And you know, when they got out into the world, the most amazing thing happened because Jerusalem was packed with all kinds of people from all over the world. It was a harvest festival, and they had come to sell their crops, and the city was full, and everybody was talking in different languages, and nobody could understand each other, but they had the power of the Spirit, and the Spirit empowered them to communicate with one another. That's all that crazy part Trinity had to read. And the church was born, and the power and the gift of the Holy Spirit arrived in and formed community that we have come to know as the church. So that's the old Pentecost story. That happened 2,000 years ago. Let me tell you about today's potential Pentecost story. Stop and think for a moment. Where are we? In a sanctuary. Kind of locked up tight. The doors are all shut. It's kind of safe in here. The word sanctuary, if you don't know, means safe place. Spirit ain't going to do much in here, folks. It's just like the first Pentecost story. The Spirit didn't do much in that house, did it? It blew it down. Broke open the doors. Sent the disciples out into the world. You can't do your work in this room if you're Pentecostal people. Yeah, you can come here and get filled with the Spirit. I hope you've been filled a little bit with the Spirit, with the lighting of the candles and the festive songs, the three young people joining the church and getting caught up in that. Yeah, I hope you've got a little bit of the Spirit, but the Spirit's work is not going to happen in this place. You've only come here to wait. to wait like those first 12. To wait for the Holy Spirit to come and grab you and to let that tongue of flame of fire dance over your head and warm your heart and send you out into the world. The choir just sang to be the light of the world. It's how you carry your light. It's the light of the Spirit dancing over your head that you will carry out into the world. The Holy Spirit has called each one of us in this story. It didn't call me. It called us. And everyone that the Spirit touched is now empowered to go out into the world. And you're not going out into the world by the Spirit to be good people, by the way. I'm glad you are good people. But you're not being called out into the world to be good people. You're not being called out in the world to be Altadena Community Church either. And you're not being called out into the world to be the United Church of Christ either. You are being called out in the church to be one thing and one thing only, and that is to be a disciple of Christ. And what do as disciples of Christ? We simply but powerfully do what Jesus did. If you don't know what he did, borrow one of these young people's message Bibles and read it, and it'll tell you what Jesus did. That's why we have the Holy Book. We can learn what Jesus did so we know what to do. It's not rocket science, folks. It's pretty easy. Our work is simply to go out into the world and be disciples in Jesus' name. You are not disciples sitting in here. This is your little resting place. This is your filling station or gas station, if you will. You know, when your car is empty, you take it to the pump and you fill it up. Now some of you got electric cars, you plug it in, whatever the phrase is for get by in today's world. But you got to renew. You come here to renew so you can go back out there and do your work. To do what you are called to do. And it will be different for each one of us. Because you will take your gifts and your unique self. And you will take the power of the Holy Spirit that rests in you. And take that light of yourself out into the world and make your difference. So if you want Pentecost to have any power for you, don't read the old story. You got to say, where am I in the story? I don't really care what happened 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. Yeah, they had an exciting day. I hope you will have an exciting Pentecost day and be motivated to do what they did. To go out into the world, your world, wherever it might be. It may be just a few yards from here, or a couple of miles from here. You don't have to go across some sea. Your world is right where you live and work and play. That's where you go to be a disciple of Jesus. So what does this Holy Spirit going to do for you? This Holy Spirit, I hope, will loosen our tongues. We need a lot of that in the United Church of Christ because we kind of sit there and use our heads more than our mouths. We need that Holy Spirit to loosen our tongues to proclaim a good news. We need that Holy Spirit to soften our hearts to all of the need that we see out there. We need that Holy Spirit to harden our hands and our feet, not in a bad way, but in a good way to sustain us to do all of the work that is out there to be done. We pray at Pentecost this little prayer, come, Holy Spirit, come. Well, my friends, you better be careful what you're praying for. Because if you pray those words, you better be open to it being answered. And when it's answered, you won't be sitting here. You cannot sit here. You have to be out there in the world. So if you dare pray with me today, pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. And let us get up and go. Let us get up and go back out into the world that we are called to serve. and take with you the words that will flow from your tongues, the actions that will come from your heart and your hands and your feet. And go out there to this hurting, broken world of ours and proclaim what you know to proclaim, which is simply the good news of Jesus Christ. Go be a Pentecostal person, carrying your light into the dark world and make a difference. Just think how the church will be changed by you. Amen.